What's going on, TLC? How are we doing this morning? Everybody good? Yeah, come on. Yeah, wasn't that awesome? Our students did such an amazing job. I'm so proud of all of them. And yeah, Pastor Trevor's doing an amazing job. Pastor Maddie, our kids pastor, helped choreograph and coach this team. And so we've got some amazing leaders and people in our church. You all are amazing. Give yourselves a hand. Come on. Yeah. So glad. So glad that you're here today. If we've not met yet, my name's Kyle. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're excited that all of you are here today. We have been praying for you that God would move in your life. I believe He is. I believe He has already, and there is still more. Are you ready for more? I believe God's got something special for you today. If you're a guest with us, thanks for being here. We'd love to know that you are here today. Check out our Connect Lounge after service. We'd love to meet you, get to know you a little bit, see if TLC is a good fit. For you. We've got a gift for you as well, just to say thanks for being here today. Real quick before we dive into the message tonight, you want to be here, right? It's going to be powerful. God's going to move. We're going to have worship in the Word. Not a lot of fluff, not videos, not all the things. Man, we're just going to soak in God's presence, and we're going to hear from Him, and it's going to be powerful. Bring someone with you. Invite someone to come. This is open to other churches if they want to come and be a part of that as well. Everyone's welcome. Let's come and see what God wants to do tonight. Amen. Hey, how many of you've gotten to travel a little bit? Maybe around the U.S., maybe around the world, you've gotten to travel and see other things, right? My family and I, we've done some road tripping here in the past few years. We've seen some of the major things like the Grand Canyon and Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore, the St. Louis Arch, a lot of different places. We went to D.C. a couple summers ago. We went out west last summer and saw the Alamo, Houston Space Center. We've tried to see a lot of different things recently. I've been on some missions trips. I've been to a few other countries. I got to stand next to a volcano in Nicaragua. It was a different kind of volcano. You could actually travel up through this state park up to where the mouth of the volcano is. It's not your typical, like, you know, mountain peak kind of looking thing. Like, you could literally look over inside of it and see the lava swirling. One of the coolest things I've ever seen. And so, you might have gotten to travel and see some different things in life. It's interesting. Sometimes we don't know what else is out there, right? There's some amazing sights and amazing things that are all around the world that God has created. There's just the beauty of mountains and oceans and all sorts of things all around the world. But we can become so locked into just our little patch of grass and our little town here in our neighborhoods and not realize there's so much more out there to see, right? Sometimes we can become so fixated on what we see right in front of us, right? John Eldredge writes, there is more going on than meets the eye. Amen. We tend to judge our lives by what we see in front of us. So things like, God hasn't really answered my prayer. So then we think, well, God isn't really moving, but He is. We just hadn't seen it yet. All we can see is what's in front of us. Hey, you know, that relationship didn't really work out the way I hoped it was. You know what? That might be for your benefit, though. Sometimes rejection is protection. And sometimes you think, I was supposed to marry that person, but maybe you weren't. And that might have said, sometimes maybe you married the person, never mind. Did the things that maybe you poured yourself into, the things that you poured your life into, maybe they didn't work out the way that you hoped, and it felt left you feeling a little disappointed, right? And so many times we can get locked into that, but then realize, what did you experience through that? What did you learn? How did you grow through that? And maybe God is removing that season in your life to take you to something new and different that He has for you. Am I getting the results and the responses that I hoped for? And we sometimes throw all of our chips and we go all in into one certain thing. And then when our expectations don't line up with what really happens, sometimes we throw out why and we question and we doubt. God is wanting you to step out in faith and walk in what you have not seen just yet. But so many times we lose it because of what we can only see right here in the now and in the natural. Come on, where are you at this morning between what you can see and what you haven't seen yet? Maybe today you're in the middle between faith and a lot of doubt. Let your faith increase today. Overcome some doubts. Trust that God is up to something even if you can't see it yet. Come on, that's a word for somebody this morning. I hope you can see God is wanting to reveal himself to you. He just wants you to trust that he knows what he's doing. Amen? We often live by the seen and the felt. We evaluate our lives and our relationships by the way things look. But what if what we see isn't all that there is? Maybe there's life and movement even in the things that seem flat. Yeah, I know, man, we know prayer is a powerful thing, right? Prayer is a powerful thing, but can we be real honest, right? Sometimes that seems flat at times, even in our prayer life. Why? Because we get caught up in what we're seeing and what we haven't seen yet, right? Even in the mundane things of life that seem flat and lifeless, sometimes our hopes, sometimes our efforts, trust that God is a God who works behind the scenes. When it's dark and there seems to be no light, he is moving. He is bringing life. He is up to something, even if you haven't seen it just yet. Come on, I came to preach this morning. I hope you're ready. Somebody in here, you've been praying for something for a long time. You've been praying for a healing. You've been praying for a child that has wandered away. You've been praying for a family member. You've been praying for a situation. You've been praying for a breakthrough in your life. And maybe you haven't seen it yet, but somebody needs to have some faith today. I pray faith would rise up inside of you today to realize maybe you haven't seen it yet, but God is working. God is working. God is working. Turning your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was this great man of faith in a time when Israel had been taken captive and exiled into Babylon. And Daniel is someone that God moved through and in a very difficult time in Israel's history. We see Daniel never lose his faith. We see Daniel has a prayer life. We see Daniel pray because that's what he always did, and that got thrown him into a lion's den. And if you know that story, even if you haven't been in church, we know that how that story ended. Those lions did not devour him as was expected. We see Daniel has this gift that God has given him of dreams and interpreting dreams, and Daniel's faith seems to carry him through even the most difficult of times. At this point in Daniel chapter 10, he's old. He spent decades of praying to see God move and see God's people freed and the temple rebuilt. He's standing in faith. And he has another vision. And this isn't an encouraging vision. It's a vision of more war and more hardship. See, he's been praying, he's praying, he's hoping, he's trusting in God, and now he's going to see more hardship. So what does he do? He does not waver in his faith. He does not cower by what he's seen. No, he does what he's always done, and he continues to pray even more. He sought God in prayer. He does this 21-day fast. Now, a lot of you that are into a lifestyle of fasting, you maybe at least have heard of the Daniel fast, and we see him go through a 21-day fast. No choice food, no meat, no wine. We're not clear about what choice food means. In Hebrew, it's lehem hamudat. It's pleasant or desirable bread. However it is, he is taking some time to seek the Lord by fasting and by praying. And at the end of this fast, he has a vision. He sees a man, and he sees the glory of God in this man. Most biblical scholars say this is the pre-incarnate Christ. This is known as a Christophany. So Jesus is eternal. He was and is to come. He came to earth physically as a man, but he appeared multiple times throughout the Old Testament, much like we see here in this passage we're about to read. John gives a similar description of Jesus in his vision in Revelation. But Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 5. If you've got it, say, yep. All right, let's look at it here together. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. Come on, let's pray. Father God, you are so good. God, may we see you today. God, may we see, Lord, what it is that you want for your people. God, would there be faith that would rise up inside of us? Those that have been praying, God, would you speak to them today? God, would you encourage them today, God? God, would you help us in the middle of what we're seeing and what we haven't seen just yet? God, would you move, God? People are looking for answers, God. People are struggling. People are weary and weak today, God. Would you bring your strength, God, in that moment for them? Would you bring your peace, Lord, that passes our understanding? God, help us, Lord, not to lean on our own understanding, our limited view of things, Father, and trust in a God who created us, who has a plan for us, and knows our future. Lord, bless us today. Speak to us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So Daniel has this incredible vision. This incredible vision. The Lord shows himself to Daniel in this vision. The Lord comes to him in his time of need. Daniel's praying for his people. Daniel's praying over what he feels is coming. And he's giving it to the Lord through prayer and fasting. And he has this incredible vision of the Lord. And the Lord speaks to him. The Lord moves. And the other people, they may not have seen what Daniel sees, but they sensed something was going on. And they ran. It scared them. They ran and hid. But Daniel is the only one that had seen and heard what was going on. Sometimes God has something just for you. That's my prayer for you today. That you came in this room. We're all different walks of life. We've all experienced different things. But I believe God's got something just for you today. Something just for you. Others wouldn't understand it. God is going to move some of you today. Others of you, you're just ready to get out and go to eat, right? But God is going to move in some of your life. For some of you, God's going to speak a word. For some of you in this altar, as we pray for you at the end of the service, you're going to experience God's presence. For some of you, it might be that very thing that you're looking for. For some of you, God might speak and you weren't even expecting it. God is going to move in some of your lives today. I've had people come up to me after sermons and say, hey, what you really said, it spoke to me. I'm like, well, I didn't really say that. So the Lord had something special just for you. I've had other people say, Pastor, you were speaking right to me. You must have, they'll tell me, you read my mail, right? Like, I've heard that so many times. That's not me. Man, that is the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention. You may have experienced God's presence this morning as we worshiped the Lord. You may have experienced God's presence, and you may have leaned over to your neighbor and went, woo, come on, do you feel that this morning? You may have leaned over and said, hey, God is moving. Ain't it good? And you might have been like, no, I felt something, but I think it was my stomach, man. I think I'm either hungry or that breakfast is just hitting, right? Some of you have experienced God, or you'll hear from him today because he has something just for you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's got something just for you. Daniel has a moment like this where God speaks specifically to him. And I don't think it's a coincidence, because where his heart was postured toward God. He seemed to have a relationship where he could sense when God was speaking, what God was doing. Is your proximity to God's presence help you in that moment of what you're trying to see and what you haven't seen just yet? Are we drawing close to God just when we're going through chaotic things in life? Or do we have a life like Daniel had of seeking God continually? That this was nothing new to him. This is what his go-to was. This wasn't his way out. This was his way in to whatever God was doing in that moment. And he's seeking the Lord. He says in verse 8 through 9, my strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. I don't know if you've ever been weak. I don't know if you've ever been shook in the presence of God before. But that was Daniel here. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted. He done got the Holy Ghost there, right? He done fell out in the spirit right here. I fainted, and I lay there with my face to the ground. He recognized this was something special. This is holy. See, the strongest of men cannot bear the weight of God's glory. I don't know if you've ever experienced God, and maybe you were grieved by the sins of the world, or maybe you were grieved by your only your sins yourself, right? And so you felt the weight of conviction under God's power. Maybe you've experienced God, and you felt his presence, and you were filled with tears of joy because of his grace and his goodness. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you're seeking God, and you just couldn't help. I got to go to my knees to bow before him. Here's what I do know, that if you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. If you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. And sometimes it's hard to just stand under the weight of God's glory. We had a revival a few years ago, like a three-night kind of thing, guest speaker, a whole deal. Other churches had come, and there was this one guy that came from another church, big old dude, 6'8", 6'9", something like that, big guy, looked like a football player. And man, the Lord was working on him up here at this altar. He was right up at the front, and he was feeling it, y'all. He began to sway like a tree in a storm, y'all. And I leaned over to Haley. I said, I don't know who's catching him. I'm not catching him, though. The Lord's going to have to make him fall forward because I'm not catching him, right? But sometimes you just can't stand on the, man, you feel God's power in his presence. It's like you can't help it. If you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. The Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him when you seek him with your whole heart. And that's what Daniel's doing right here. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your skin color, how much money you have, or what you have done in your life. If you seek him, you will find him. If you cry out to God, he will answer. If you surrender yourself to him, he will show up and show out in your life. Anybody ready to experience God today? Anybody hungry for a move of God in your life today? The Bible says the hungry will be satisfied in the Lord. God still moves, despite what some circles would say. God still speaks. God still saves. If you need a touch today, cry out to him. Stand up in the middle of your doubts by standing in faith. So here's three things to remember when standing in faith. First, God cares way more about you than you do. Verse 10, just then a hand touched me and lifted me up. Still trembling to my hands and knees, verse 11, the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up still trembling. You are very precious to the Lord. Look at someone and say, you're precious. You are precious to God. Not only does God love you, he kind of likes you. God loves you. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. Jesus came for you to lift you up. He came to raise you from death to life. He came to raise you up out of your sins, to raise you up to who he wants you and created you to be. So stand up today. Come on, if anything else, some of you need to get that. Man, I got to stand up. But it's not in your strength. It's in the presence and power of God. Stand up today. Do that by standing in faith. Isaiah 40, 31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those that trust in the Lord, there's a little formula here. Those that trust in the Lord, their strength will be renewed in their life. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Verse 12, in Daniel, he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray. Some of you need to underline that there in your Bible. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your requests have been heard in heaven. Circle that word, heard. God hears you. Again, don't get that twisted because of what you're seeing. Don't let God and his goodness and who he is be subject to what you're seeing right now. You just hadn't seen it yet. Have some faith, trust in God, and he'll renew your strength. I've come in answer to your prayer. Verse 13, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Remember when standing in faith, number one, God cares way more about you than you do. And number two, God is doing more than what you understand. Some of you, again, you might just be basing things off of what you see. So some might feel, why bother? God hasn't really moved now, so will he do anything? I've been praying for change, but nothing has changed yet. I don't even know if God really cares. Since the first time you began to pray, your prayer has been heard in heaven. First time you prayed, God heard the cry of your heart. Verse 13, we read, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of kingdom of Persia blocked my way. What is this, some sci-fi stuff, Pastor? I don't know what's going on. What's this spirit? There is a spiritual world around us. There is a spiritual realm. We believe in the Spirit of God. You best believe there is an evil spirit. The Apostle Paul said that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities and powers of the unseen world. It blows my mind that culture is so obsessed with the paranormal, but we church folk are crazy folk. There's people that dabble and pray around with things they don't understand, occult things and all this stuff, but heaven forbid we speak in tongues. Heaven forbid we believe that when we pray for folks, heaven forbid that I believe when I lay hands on you, I know that God will heal you and can heal you. But heaven forbid, that's weird, Pastor. Come on. Churches are weird. But there's folks playing around with crystals. And there's folks playing around with other things. Will go to a psychic and get their fortune told and their hand. I know who holds my future. It sure enough ain't a psychic. I know who holds my future. But hold up, but we're the crazy ones. Maybe we're a little crazy, and that's okay. I'm crazy for Jesus. But we're the crazy ones. You ain't catch me playing with a Ouija board. I ain't doing that, no. And listen to me, church, you better not be either. Don't dabble in any of that stuff. It is not of God. And it will open doors to the enemy in your life. But so many people play with it. And some of these things have crept I'm not speaking about our church, but it has crept into churches and believers' lives. And it's not to be played around. There is a spiritual world out there. And it seems that this is what is going on here. For 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. There was a spiritual battle that was going on. How long? 21 days. Isn't that interesting? That Daniel started praying and fasting for how many days? 21 days. When Daniel started praying 21 days ago, it looked like God wasn't doing anything. He was doing more than what you can understand. There was a spiritual battle that was going on. God is fighting for you. You just may not see it yet. You may not see it, but God is up to something. You may not understand it, why you're not getting your answer yet or seeing anything happen. So don't quit. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep standing in faith. Heaven is fighting for you. God is doing way more than you understand. So keep praying for that spouse. Keep praying for that loved one. Keep praying for that person that God has put on your heart, because he's wanting to do something in their life. Keep praying for that healing. Keep praying for your marriage. Keep praying for God to move in your life. And I get at times this can wear you out. This can wear you out, especially when you haven't seen it yet. It's like having a spotter at the gym trying to lift your bar, right? Trying to pump that weight. And you need someone to kind of help carry that through. And that's what God does. Now, sadly enough, I've been in one of those situations at the gym where I was feeling particularly strong that day. And I thought, I'm going to add a little bit of weight on here, Leon. I'm going to see what I can do. Pressed it once. Got it down to my chest a second time and felt, oh no. This thing ain't going back up. Muscle fatigue had kicked in. I'm kicking my legs like that's going to help. Fortunately, someone saw me from across the gym and came in over and rescued me and helped me lift the weight up. Very embarrassing, but it makes a valid point of how God works in our life. In our weakness, he makes us strong. He will come. He will lift whatever heavy burden you have. He will come in and restore your strength and renew you. Come on. Let God move in your life. In our weakness, that's where you can be the strongest, because that's when it's not your power anymore. It has to be God. Someone outside of yourself. God cares about you more than you do. God is doing more than you understand. And the third thing to remember when standing in faith is God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Until you understand your weakness, you won't appreciate God's strength. Verse 17, how can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. Verse 17 captures exactly where some of you might be today in your life. Maybe you've experienced some things. Maybe you're going through hard times and some struggles and it feels like you can't breathe. It feels like you're going through it and you've lost your strength. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your life or your finances, your future, dealing with your past and some of the pain you've experienced. And it feels like I just got nothing left. Can I encourage you today? Now's the time to stand in faith. Now's the time to trust God even more. Let Him renew your strength today. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about what you're... I'm not saying sweep things under the rug. I'm just saying stand up. Let God strengthen you in this today. You just haven't seen it yet. Verse 18, then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said. You are very precious to God. This is the second time he says that. Peace, be encouraged, and be strong. Notice we're not seeing anything happen in the physical world right here. He's not getting the answer yet, but he's getting God's presence. He's getting strength right now. God is strength. Nothing has changed in the situation yet, but God is saying, I'm strengthening you. I'm here. I'm with you. You can be strong and courageous. You are very precious to God. I hear you. God is saying that today. I hear you. I see you. You are very precious to me. Come on, He loves you. He created you. He has a plan for you. You are very precious to God. And just one touch from Him will change everything. One touch from God can bring healing in your life. One touch from God can bring deliverance in your life. One touch from God can save you and bring breakthrough in your life. How are you going to get through it? God is with you. That is where our strength lies. Even when the situation doesn't change yet, even when you don't get that exact answer, you get God Himself. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell Daniel here is, I'm here, I hear you, I'm with you. Be strengthened, be encouraged. Don't grow faint. So keep standing. He told him, stand up in faith. Because the first time you prayed, God heard you. He may not have answered it right away. He may not answer it the way you want. You may not have seen it or felt it, but God is up to something. Don't give up. God cares more about you than you do. Stand in your weakness. He will make you strong. Choose to trust God even when you don't understand it. My favorite verse in all of the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. A lineman will work for the power company. Your power goes out. A lineman's going to go up that pole. He's going to harness himself and lean back in that harness to fix that line. He's not going to be able to hold on to that pole at the same time, try to work. He's got to lean on something to support him. They have to rely on that harness. While you go through life, will you rely on God? Will you trust Him to hold you in? Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because our view is limited. We don't see things the way that God sees them. Again, we're only seeing in the now, in the natural. Right? Our view is limited. Our view is limited. You just didn't see it yet. Will you trust God? Will you hold on? Lean on to Him, not your limited view of things. Maybe we're not seeing God or hearing Him or feeling Him because we're basing a supernatural God off what we want to see and feel in the natural. Sometimes our feeling can affect our faith. Your feelings can't define reality. We hurt, we struggle, we stress, we worry, but they don't define us or our future. What needs to define your reality is truth. And I'm saying, again, I'm not saying ignore your feelings. You might be feeling doubt, and where is God? But that doesn't define the reality that God exists and that He is with you and that you can trust Him. Didn't feel God? Is that your fault? Is that God's fault? Is it Pastor Ryan's fault for not playing the song you like? No. Why, Pastor, I just didn't feel God today. Maybe you've read the Bible and you're trying to read it. And I just can't understand it. Other people are singing and they're crying and they're shouting. They're all excited. I don't really feel anything today. When I pray, man, I don't know if I'm praying right. I don't know if I'm praying the right names of God. Is it Jehovah Nissan? What, I thought that was a car, right? You know, you're trying to pray the right way, and I don't know if God's hearing my prayers. Maybe you're over-sensationalizing God's presence. Are there times when you're going to feel the goosebumps? Are there times when God is going to move and you can't help but just cry in His presence? Are there going to be times when you feel it and sense in it? Yeah, absolutely. Jesus said some people are always looking for a sign. Told the religious leaders in John 6:30, so they say, what sign then, Jesus, will you give that we may see it and believe you? What does Jesus say? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen yet. If you always felt God, you wouldn't need faith. Maybe the reason is your heart is hardened. Matthew 13:14-15, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Maybe you're a Christian today, Christ follower, but you've allowed your heart to be hardened. God didn't do something, so I don't know that I believe anymore. Someone hurt me, so I've closed my heart off to God. The number one cause of a hardened heart is ongoing sin. You ever been outside when it's really cold? I know we don't experience that a whole lot here in Florida. But it's been really freezing outside, so what do? We bundle up, right? We put on the coat, we put on the gloves, get the hat, the scarf. Come on, ladies, you know, as soon as that first fall leaf hits, you're going to put on them boots. So I'm covered in clothes, so I can't feel the cold. If you're covered in sin, you can't feel God. Is there something in your life that's causing you to experience God? Jealousy, unforgiveness, addiction, something in your life that maybe you've gotten comfortable with. The middle parts of this proverb really grab my attention, and I love it. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. Again, what's the problem with that? Is that our understanding is limited. You ever do something you thought it was a good idea, right? But it's actually really dumb. Bubba, we were just talking about that yesterday out on the lake, jumping in the swimming hole with a bunch of gators. Yeah. We didn't do that. Bubba may have done that when he was a kid, but why? Why? Because our understanding is limited. And God's word says don't lean on that. Don't lean on what's limited. But far too often, that's what we do. Why? Because we lean on what we're seeing, and our vision is limited. You ever been to a game, a ball game, and people are sitting in front of you? Go to a ball game, and people will stand up the whole game, which I get, because you're at a ball game. You're not at home. You want to sit down the whole time, go home, right? But there's some people that will stand the whole time, and so you're trying to see. Your view is limited. Sometimes we're trying to see God. Our view is often limited. So that's why we can't trust in what we're seeing. Trust in God. Trust in what you haven't seen. Just that's faith. Even though you don't understand the details, trust that God is knowing what He's doing. The Hebrew word translated as trust is the word batach. It means to stretch out, to lie face down before God. It represents a servant waiting for the master's will or command. When you trust, you are surrendered to the will of the master. Maybe God just wants you to draw closer to Him. Paul preached this in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. From one man God made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so they would seek Him. You want to know what your purpose is in life? Quit trying to work out all the details and just seek Him. That's our purpose, is to seek and serve God. That's it. That's it. And as you learn to lean on Him more, as you learn to trust Him more, as you learn His presence and His voice more, then as He leads you, He'll take you places you can never imagine. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. See, God created us with a will, right? With our own will. And God certainly could have said, I'm going to create these people, and I'm going to create in them a desire only for me. And they're only going to seek me. And they're only and so there's almost kind of like this puppet master mentality where God's just controlling everything, right? But God gave us free will. Why? Because he wants you to choose him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to go after him and pursue him. But far too often, we're just pursuing everything else. God is not too far away from any one of us. Notice how challenges and hard times and suffering, how that often produces the best in us. You ever notice that? You ever notice that comfort, ease, and prosperity oftentimes produces the worst in us? Deprivation draws out desire. When we're craving something, we've been depraved from something that makes us crave it, right? So if we don't eat for a while, we get hungry. If we don't drink for a while, we get thirsty. If we don't feel God, that should create a desire to want him more. God, I haven't really felt you, so God, I'm going to seek you. God wants to be pursued. He wants you to love. He's a jealous God. He created you for the purpose of loving him and seeking after him. Worship team, you all can come back up. Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. Just because God feels distant doesn't mean he is absent. Just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not there. Sometimes we got to get out of our feelings and activate our faith. Occasionally, yes, we will experience the goosebumps, the tingles, and the tears. But what about on the ordinary, everyday, mundane, simple moments of life? Can you recognize him there? Maybe it's you're scrolling through Facebook and somebody quotes a Bible verse and it was like, oh, I needed that today. Or maybe in your own devotional time, God just drops something in your own quiet time. You open up your Bible reading for the day and it was, boom, oh, that's a good word for me today. Maybe it's a friend that reaches out to you because God has put you on their heart and God said, I want you to encourage them. I want you to pray with them. So they called you or they texted you or said, hey, let's go out to lunch. It was exactly what you needed. Maybe instead of the bedtime prayers over the kids actually turn to you and say, Mom, Daddy, can I pray with you? And it just blesses your soul. Maybe you heard a song and it was the right moment that you needed to hear that song. It's like it was written for you and you find God in that moment. What does it mean to trust God with all of our hearts? First, let's remember what it's not. Trusting God does not mean you always get what you want. It doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen to you. Trusting God means that no matter what happens, you believe that God loves you and he's working all things together for your good. That's his character. That's his nature. That's his goodness. And guess what, folks? He does not change. Trust that God is up to something even if you can't see it yet. You may be hurting today. You may be struggling. Maybe you're questioning God right now. Maybe you're wondering, how do you trust God? How do you trust God when you want to get married, but there's no prospects walking around here? The clock's ticking. How do you trust God when you're trying to save your marriage and you feel like you're the only one fighting for it? How do you trust God when there's way more bills than what you have incoming? And you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and what you're seeing is not different. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Because trust doesn't mean you get what you want. At the core, you believe that God loves you and he's working all things together for your good. And that's why King David said this. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the Lord our God. We trust that God is good. We are his sons and his daughters. We are called by him. God has purpose for us. Things may not always seem good, but God always is.